GNC 548. It's Tuesday, February 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you back in Honolulu. Great to be back in the studio. And yes, it's Groundhog Day. It doesn't feel like Groundhog Day. Lots to share with you. You know what comes next? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
No.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content. Check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. We want to welcome all the Ohana to the show. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed, being part of the family. And for those of you checking out the show for the very first time, hey, make sure that this isn't your last time checking out Geek News Central, because we got a lot of great content twice a week for you. I release the show every Tuesday and Friday morning. I record it live on Ustream every Monday and Thursday night. But 99.99999% of the listenership gets the show via audio, although a number of you are, increasing number of you are starting to actually download the show in a video format, which is blowing me away, considering it's about a 500 meg download when you do download it. But thanks for being here and being, again, part of the family. And hey, if you are one of the listeners of 161 countries that tune into the show worldwide, we want to make sure you get signed up for our newsletter. A newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about tonight. Links from audience members that they've sent in via email or called in via our voicemail hotline. So get signed up for that newsletter. You'll find a link to that in the second column of the website at geeknewscentral.com. And of course, you want to subscribe to the show. You'll find plenty of ways to subscribe right at the top of the website. Subscribe to the podcast via Zoom, via iTunes, via regular RSS feed through one of your RSS aggregators or your mobile phone. That's the best way to get it. That way, you'll never miss an episode here of the Geek News Central podcast. Wow, it's great to be back in Honolulu. When I flew out of Jacksonville Friday morning, got on the airplane really early. I think it was 6 o'clock in the morning. We landed in Chicago a couple hours later, and they had us at a gate like, I don't know, I've never had this happen at O'Hare before, but I was like a half mile from the terminal. Well, at least it felt like a half mile from the terminal, and I had a leather jacket on. I really didn't have a winter jacket on, and man, when I got out of that airplane, it was like zero. And this thin Hawaiian blood did not do well to the walk to the terminal. And I was very happy to get on an airplane and heading to 85 degree weather. Nice tropical breeze. It's just absolutely beautiful here. So those of you that have on the East Coast who've gotten slammed by the snowstorm over the weekend, those of you that are in sub-zero weather, I'm sorry. But payback is coming to me. I'm going to the Windy City this weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I'll be wearing a different jacket when I go back to Chicago this time. So because of my trip to Chicago on Thursday night, and I leave Thursday night, I'm going to do a special show this week on Wednesday. So tonight's show is going to be being recorded. Then I'll do a Wednesday show, and it'll be released Thursday morning. So you're going to get them boom, boom, right in a row. Those of you on Ustream can come watch a Wednesday night if you want to the show. So I encourage you to do that. But I'm going to be very involved over the weekend. Excuse me. So really no time to do a show Friday, so it's going to be a very, very full weekend, and then I fly back to Honolulu Monday, so there'll be a regular show Monday night, of course, as scheduled, so don't worry about that, but going to be in Honolulu for a while. Don't think I'm going to be traveling too much, which is nice, at least maybe through the end of February, knock on wood, if everything goes right, but as expected, got a little bit of a frog that all of a sudden has shown up. I don't know what the story here is. But arrived home, and of course, my lovely wife had a nice honey-do list for me after I'd been gone for a couple of weeks, and took care of that stuff for her. One of them was cleaning my koi pond, which had turned out to be getting pretty nasty. So I got that done, and along with some yard work as well. But she basically said, okay, honey, you've been gone to CES. You've been on the road doing this consulting gig. You're going to be home for a few weeks. It's a new, you know, basically we're already into February, but I've got you scheduled for a physical. So I get to go see the doc when I get back and get a full test. She's got me scheduled to have everything done from top to bottom, blood and everything else that goes along with a physical when you're at my age. And so we'll go and get check out and see how good my cholesterol really is. I've notoriously had great cholesterol tests to the dismay of my doctors, because they always say, oh, you can lose some weight. And I'm like, hey, my cholesterol is great. I know. I won't go into that. But so anyway, I'll get back and get a full physical, and I'll let you know how that goes. My accountant is driving me crazy. I've got to get paperwork to him. So even though tomorrow night is the new season premiere of Lost, which my family is now fully enthralled on, and it's all the kids have been talking about since I've been home, I'll probably have to take 2 hours out, probably work and do tax stuff at the same time, so I can get the tax information over to the accountant. He wants to get everything done, and then I'll face the piper when it comes to if I paid enough in taxes this year, or if I'm going to have to write a check, which all of us will be facing that soon. But my business stuff has to be done, and then the personal stuff will follow right then, right there, very close behind. Got a couple things outstanding, and still, I got a bunch of emails for people wanting me blogging on Geek News Central. I'll have that in work. I have the copy editor position that I still have to fill, just have not had time to get that done, so I apologize about that, but it's just been crazy here. I spent really the remainder of the weekend pushing the rest of the videos, and Jeffrey from Geekazine went and got those all online for us. So we've got everything except for the last 11. The last 11 are up. They haven't been turned on yet. Those are our special segments that we had at NBC Universal. We'll push those up last. But I pushed like 20 videos or so to the website over the weekend. Hopefully I can get some more up. But I think I'm like halfway of actually getting them on Geek News Central. If you can't wait, I encourage you to go over to either YouTube or on Blip. There'll be a link to it tonight in show notes, on where you can go and sort through all the content we did from the Consumer Electronics Show. I think it's a record. I think we've got all the videos up in record time. Now, not posted to the website, of course, but the main thing was to get them up so they could start being consumed, and we'll have the full write-ups and everything on the websites here over the next, hopefully my goal is to have them done in a few weeks, if at all possible. But just a lot of work. Feels like I've been doing nothing but video work since I got back from Vegas and out in, you know, working in the hotel. There's never anything super productive about that. And, but anyway, that's kind of what's been happening here on my side over the weekend. And the video, at least all the videos from the show are up. I'm on the hunt right now for a sponsor for South by Southwest. Really, it's, you know, I thought Vegas was expensive, but when I started pricing the, actually, I already got approved for press credentials at South by Southwest, and that actually closed, I think today was the last day you could apply for those. I got that applied for, approved. I've tentatively reserved a room for South by Southwest, planning on a completely different content track for that event. Really going to build on some of the ideas from what we learned at CES to come up with some new ways to bring the content to you. If I do go to South by Southwest. And again, it's a very expensive show. It's worse than, I'm really surprised. It costs more really hotel room wise than going to Vegas did this year for 8 days. And I would only be in Austin for like 5. So it's pretty ridiculous, to be honest with you. But anyway, that's on tap. And of course, South by Southwest happens in March. So I'll let you know as we get closer to that event, whether or not I'm going to be going out. I don't know if I want to put myself through the same misery I have over the past month of getting all this content up, and that's the reason why we're going to go to a different format for this show. Okay, As always, it's the first day of a new month. I want to give a big, huge thank you to our sponsors, both GoDaddy and also GoToMeeting for being here. Of course, GoToAssist was our exclusive sponsor during the Consumer Electronics Show. Really, all three of those sponsors have stepped up in a big way and really helped me keep the lights on. I had also told you all that I would be reporting each month how it's going on my salary placement plan. You guys know that we're basically now I'm taking donations in order to replace what money I'm paying myself through the advertisers of this show and actually turning that into money that I can actually turn into a new assistant or someone here in Honolulu that can help me on a full-time basis. I think we're about 1%. That's where we're at. It's going a little slower than I thought it would. And I thought it would be a little bit faster, but I do want to thank all of you that have, I actually had a couple more came in today. I want to thank those of you that are actually signed up for that. And if you want information on that, it's in the second column of the website. And we're still sticking to the 1% a year of gross revenues for prizes given away. So this iPad giveaway is a pretty big giveaway. It really, really is for the amount of money that we're spending on it. So again, we'll have this iPad giveaway that'll go down on the 10th. I believe I set the date of February 10th. And all you really have to do is Twitter that I'm giving away an iPad, put in the hashtag GNC iPad, follow me, and just let folks know they come over here to Geek News Central. I've posted it up on Twitter two or three times. Hey, just give everyone an update on Shoko's dad. We're in a kind of a wait-and-see mode with him right now, and I had gotten several emails, people asking me how he was doing, and it's just one of those situations that is not getting much better, to be honest with you. And I don't think there's anything imminent, but you never know in these types of situations. So keep you advised on that. Definitely you guys will be one of the first to know, because if something does happen, we will be leaving for Japan immediately, which will mean the show will get interrupted a little bit. But anyway, we'll keep you advised on that. One thing I don't do very often is thank my family. And I'm already into a little bit of time here on the show. We're going to get into tech in a second. But, you know, my wife and kids, they sacrifice a lot for letting me do this show twice a week in the evenings. It's a privilege to do it for you, but it's also a sacrifice by them. And we are at show number 548. So that means at least 548 evenings dad has not been available, or husband has not been available, to do things around the house as I'm putting on the show for that over the past 5 years. And so I appreciate their support, continued support of me doing the show, and basically my wife running herd on the kids and everything else when we do the show. So let me see here. What else have I got on my list? Let me look down here. Again, special show on Wednesday, off to Chicago on Thursday night. No meetups. This is a weekend where I lock myself in the hotel suite with my crew, and we basically plan out what's going to happen over the next 6 months. Talk about that. Talked about that. Got a couple things to talk about. Paul Colligan on an article he wrote on the ADM results a little later in the show. We'll come back to that later. I've got a couple of side notes here. As you guys all know, I go through a little ritual. Those of you on Ustream probably see it. If I turn the stream on early enough, I basically get kind of ready here in the office, get everything set up, most of the stuff dialed in, and then I blast out for about 15 minutes. And what I do secretly is I go take a shower and brush my teeth, and then it kind of refreshes me a little bit. I come in here and do the show. And I had someone ask me the other day, where do you go for like those 15 minutes when you blast out? And I said, well, it's part of my ritual. Well, the ritual is just going to go take a shower. So that's where the secret lies. All right. All right. Let's take care of the little business here and get into the content. Hey, I was hunting around over on GoDaddy the other night, just looking at some of their product offerings, and they've got just a huge number of new offerings over there. And I've been especially interested in a new product they have out called Grid Hosting. And what blew me away about the Grid Hosting, as I was reading more about the product, was the price. The price is ridiculously low. And here's the key to this. If those of you that are running shared hosting accounts, if you're feeling that you're site is not really performing the way it should, it needs a little more oomph, I encourage you to check out the grid hosting, because what it does, it automatically scales when your site needs a little more power, and you don't have to have a server background to run this. It's just like a, it just automatically kind of does this. And I signed up for an account. I'm putting a couple of domains over there, and I'm gonna be trying it. So it's one of the new products that, I guess they've had it for a while, but I just didn't realize it. And I wrote a little article up about it. I'll give you guys more information that goes on. But it's products like that, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, that when you are looking for a product to get online, really GoDaddy's the place to go. Longtime sponsor here of the show, and they really literally help keep the lights on. And I want you guys to, you know, as you are looking for a product or looking to upgrade maybe a shared hosting account to something like a grid hosting account, keep me in mind when you get to that checkout counter, because I've got some great promo codes for you to use. That TODD code, Todd, will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. Actually, I was testing that code this weekend, and that one wasn't working. So all my other codes, and I actually sent an email off to the folks at GoDaddy, they're going to get that fixed. But all my other codes that you'll find on my code page, available via a link on the main website, will save you a large amount of money. And we've had literally thousands of listeners save multiple tens of thousands of dollars by using the codes that I have up there. And thanks for your continued support and sharing those codes with your friends, family members, and people that you know. And again, check out GoDaddy.com. All right, as well, GoToMeeting. Man, I could not live without this product. I'm starting to get emails from all of you talking about your utilization of it as well. We actually got an email from one of the listeners of the show that has purchased a corporate GoToMeeting account. And I don't want to say which company he's with, but he was dissatisfied with the product that they were using from a competitor. And after seeing one of our demos, he said, man, you guys' stuff just works. And I keep saying that's a phrase I like to use, but it's true. It just works. So definitely check out GoToMeeting. Face-to-face business meeting with clients and colleagues is going to be important, but business travel is a hassle and often a complete waste of money. What you can do more and travel less with GoToMeeting, with just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your desk. Just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. Host 5 meetings or 5,000 for one low flat rate. Plus voice over IP and phone conferencing is included. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day demo. Hey, got a little bit of a, just developed a little bit of a hum. I don't know where that's coming from. You guys on Ustream hear that hum? It's not very noticeable. It doesn't look like it's going down on the recording, but it's bzzz, I hear it there, and it just popped up. I don't know where that's coming from. Odd. Okay, anyway, enough of me rambling away. Really, I went long on that. I'm sorry. Let me go ahead and get into the regular content here tonight, and I'm going to set this thing up so I can switch between. Okay, we're ready there. Okay, which one do I want? All right. Hey, Chrome, man, oh, man, we're going to talk a little bit about Chrome later, but there's lots of stuff going on. And, boy, the folks at Firefox better just get busy. I'm telling you, they really, really should. But big news, we talked about a little bit on the last show, spacetoday.net, the NASA budget proposal, it goes beyond what we had talked about on the last show. Essentially, the president has come out and said, hey, you're not going to the moon. You're going to do something else. You're going to stay in low orbit. And you're going to work towards low orbit. So we just spent about $9 billion. That's $9 billion with a B. I got to check this. Hang on. I have no idea where that noise is coming from. Drive me crazy. $9 billion to, you know, as our initial march to get back the moon that was set by President Bush. But it's not going to happen. We're not going back to the moon by 2020. Probably weren't going to meet that deadline anyway. And the budget would eliminate NASA's current goals of developing a heavy lift launch vehicle. And all of the Constellation programs are going to be shut down. So they say they're going to spend another $3 billion to, you know, close these things out. You know, the president says, hey, that's it. And you probably got contracts in place and stuff. So another $3 billion. is going to go towards that, but realignment completely with NASA. So it's going to be interesting to see how NASA really reinvents itself here over the coming months. Hey, those of you that have a 27-inch iMac, I'm sure what you were met with was a screen that probably looks a little bit like the one I'm just putting up on Ustream. Software update, 27-inch iMac display update, 68 kilobytes. Well, apparently the folks, and this is over at Engadget, apparently Apple is continuing to have issues with the 27-inch iMac, and it's rumors are saying that they have actually shut down the actual product line completely, and they're trying to figure this out and get this fixed. So if you've got a 27-inch iMac, I'd love to hear from you. Have you had any problems? Is your machine working okay for you? I haven't heard anybody from the show talk about this, but if you're still plagued by the annoying screen flicker, hopefully this update will have fixed it. One thing that I'm really excited about right now is Samsung has announced that they're going to be releasing a 3.3-inch AMOLED display. And what's cool about this is, for those of you that have not had the opportunity to actually see a OLED display before, I think when you see these AMOLED, which is not much difference, you're just going to be blown away by the crispness of the screen, and they're actually putting a capacitive touch element or a capacitive touch film in between the final layer of glass. So it's going to have this, it's just going to be an amazing look from what everyone's saying. And while I love LCD screens, I'm going to tell you, if I could afford to have OLED monitors here in the studio, man, I would have them in a New York minute. I really, really would. But Samsung's going to introduce this, and we'll be excited to see what this phone is going to entail and what actually operating system it's going to run on. But I think when you see these screens in the marketplace, I think you're going to be blown away. All right, when we're at CES, man, the thing that everyone gives us now is flash drives. And every company that wants you to make sure you walk away with their press kit, all their imagery, everything, they give you a flash drive. And I don't think this year we got as many as we did the year before. And usually, for me, they go in a bucket, because all I really carry personally is I carry a 8 gig mini USB stick and another 4 gig. That's basically all I need for a flash memory. And so I don't use the ones that they give us. But it's being reported that China is using freebie flash drives to spy on British citizens and British companies. UK security agency MI5, now this is, that's basically like saying the CIA is basically saying they've issued a warning. And again, this is UK security agency MI5 has issued a warning regarding freebie flash drives and cameras. Apparently, Chinese companies and or governmental spies are handing them out to UK businessmen in hope of infecting their computers with Trojans and gaining access to corporate secrets. Now, I know that the U.S. government has banned the use of USB drives on a lot of governmental machines, and we heard about that earlier in the year. Now, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but, people love getting free stuff. And all they really do, these get handed out and they use them on their machine and they get infected. I think it's worse than that. I think that what we have seen is actual drives that have been, in regular commercial packaging that have in previous instances had a virus or something on it. But right now they're specifically targeting these guys and giving them free flash drives to infect their machines. So pretty scary stuff there. It really, really is. And once one of these worms gets in a machine and gets in a corporate network, they're owned. So how long before corporate America completely goes the way of the U.S. government and basically banning the utilization of USB drives? But then again, how many different types of storage devices do we have today? We've got hard drives, external hard drives. We've got all kinds of different types of memory. Who knows? you know, and not only that, gateways into our machines now can come via our phone, portable media devices, you name it. There's just a lot of ways in and a lot of different ways for those Trojans and viruses to ride along and basically kind of sneaker net in via different media as well. So anyway, we'll keep you advised on that. And a big warning again. Now, this was on BBC and also on a variety of different websites. Heard about this teen science project that has achieved a new world record? Well, this teen science fair project was able to send a text message from 1,000 feet underground. 16-year-old Alexander Kendrick put together a low-frequency radio, which allowed for the transmission of text messages from caves nearly 1,000 feet underground. And I think for the most of us, we're lucky if our cell phone gets coverage when we're driving around these days, let alone being able to send a text message with his cell phone for 1,000 feet underground. But I guess he updated his Twitter account, which to me in this report makes me go, I don't know about that. But anyway, they were able to send a message. Got a pretty cool picture here on the website. And this is not the first time someone has done an underground. Basically, he has a big antenna that he hand-built, and it doesn't look like anything that would be able to penetrate from 1,000 feet underground, but it did, and so he's been given a pretty big award on this. So he actually has a world record for the deepest transmission underground. So pretty cool stuff there. How many, you know, I'm not a big jewelry wearer. I don't wear too much jewelry at all, and but today, and I have to show you guys this. Those of you on Ustream, you guys can check this out. Let me bring this up. And I'm a sucker for anything that is, you know, mechanical. This is a gear ring. And it's really what it is. It states it's a ring that has got gears in it. And it's totally cool. And it's, you know, definitely for the nerds out there. And I showed my wife this, and she's like, you want me to buy that for you? I said, honey, I never asked for any jewelry. She goes, I would not let you wear that with me. But I think the geeks out there, some of you will really like that. So anyway, I thought I'd share that up. I heard talk about an article that Paul Colligan wrote, and I said I would talk a little bit about this when I was introducing the show tonight. Paul wrote an article, and I'm not surprised that what he wrote. Paul is big on a basically pay model, premium model. Everything Paul does is on a premium model. You can't get into any of his sessions that he does largely online unless you pony up some cash. And Paul was in on the call on the ADM call, and I hope many of you went over to blog.blueberry.com and watched the video and actually looked at the slides from that Consumer Attitudes on Podcast Advertising and that many of you from this show participated in. And Paul basically says that he thinks we're selling ourselves short, way short, in that, you know, what was basically revealed in this survey was that many of you, the only way advertisers are reaching you are through this medium because you have quit watching mainstream media television. You spend much time online. You're a segmented population. That's what a lot of the survey information pointed out, and that advertisers should come here to reach you versus not being able to reach you in other methods. Now, I don't know, you know, how tightly you are behind a veil. You know, I still watch a variety of different media, but Paul thinks we're selling ourselves short. And I heard him say during the event that he would rather have 100 paying listeners than having 100,000 that just basically were supported by advertising. And as we've talked about in this show, you know, I basically take advertising, and you guys know that. I've been taking it for a long time. And, you know, I looked at the, you know, I basically did some math and said, okay, what would it take? How many listeners would have to contribute X amount of, you know, how much money would 100 listeners have to contribute for me to completely stop taking advertising dollars? And that number was significant. And I got to thinking about, okay, can I bring 100 listeners, enough value for that contribution. And personally, I think the value of the show is pretty good, but I don't think many of you would be willing to pay the number that I would have to associate with what Paul's goals are. Now, Paul does a bunch of just short sessions. Every month or two, he has a session, and you pay to get in a session. And then once you're done, it's basically that's it. It's a one-time deal, and you may get some extra stuff afterwards. But for serialized shows like this, you know, I'd rather reach 150,000 of you, which we're doing, or close to that. And sure, I'd love to have each person pay a couple bucks. That would be great. But in reality, that will never happen. But in all honesty, I like Paul's idea. I think it's novel. But at the same time, we are all, interestingly, not really programmed to pay for stuff online. And this ties into today a number of articles that I've been seeing about how finally many startups are waking up to the fact that they can't give everything away. And people are predicting that within a year or two that many of us are going to be paying Twitter and we're going to be paying Facebook for the privilege to use their services through a premium subscription model. And I don't know how much truth there is in that. If that's actually going to go that place. But that's one of the things that I said from the very beginning when we started Raw Voice was that, hey, for our services that we're going to offer, we're going to offer at a price that is smart and will allow us to make money and not be completely reliant on advertising. Now, our model is a little different. We do advertising brokerage for podcasters, and that's how Raw Voice earns an amount of its income, along with the IP services we have and hosting and stats and so forth. So again, as an individual content creator, though, you know, I'm really excited by the results of the survey data. And I think if you go through and read that, many of you will say, yeah, that's me. But at the same point, I don't think Paul's model works very well across many shows. Many of you, if the survey results are right, listen to 9, 10, 11, 12 different shows each month or each week. And, you know, if 12 shows each ask you to pitch in X number of dollars, you know, you'd be like, hey, that's my cable bill. And, you know, I've got a cable bill. Can I replace my cable bill with you guys? Maybe not. So, again, it's a value. It's one of those things that it'll work for a few people, but not a lot. Hey, one thing I did want to mention, we're soft launching techpodcast.tv. I have only got just a couple of things up on there. It's really not ready to go, but I thought I would share that with you guys here on the show tonight. You guys can go over there to techpodcast.tv and take a peek and look at that website design. We're actually going to be releasing that template to the public domain on WordPress plugins or WordPress template plugins here shortly. You do have to use the PowerPress plugin to use it, but it's a pretty cool template. And really, it was basically we took a lot of the templates out there and we looked at them all. And we basically combined all the good things we liked about each one and made our own template and really made it for new media creators. So if you are doing a lot of video online, you'll be excited to know that we're going to release that template for you, and you'll be able to get access to it and make it your own. Put your own colors in it, logos, and so forth. But just check it out, techpodcast.tv, up online now. Only two videos there. I'll get some more stuff up in throughout the week. Over on New York Times, Google's planning for a business app store. And I was kind of like, business apps? Store? I didn't know they had business apps. Google, I guess, already offers what it calls a solution marketplace. And I really wasn't aware of this site at all, but this new Google Store is going to be a place where people that are using Google apps can add on to the services that they provide through a variety of different solutions by third-party vendors. So if you're using Google apps like I am on a multiple of domains, you'll definitely want to check out what they're going to be releasing here. But it's going to be called a solution marketplace, and a variety of add-on tools and so forth and support services. So I'm pretty excited to see this come out and see what they have to offer. And we'll keep you advised on when that's punched up. Now, I'm sure we don't want to hear about any more iPad news, but rumor on the street is Apple has another tablet in the works, more like a Mac than an iPhone. Yeah, yeah, TechCrunch. I think they just wrote this article to get another 100,000 page views by the Mac fanboys. But it's been circulated that Apple may have two different sizes for the screen of the device. Some said the device was as small as 7 inches. Others saying it would go up to 10.6. The actual size of the iPad is 9.7. But the information that the folks at TechCrunch are hearing is that the tablet may be as big as 15.4. And it currently uses for one version of the MacBook Pro. So we'll see what happens there. Another thing, too, is some folks actually got a hold of some of the parts that are actually being used to build the iPad. And sure enough, that it's been manufactured in such a way. And I didn't know you could actually go online and order this stuff, but I guess you can. And I don't know how they got it. I'd like to know how, like to have that answered for me. But apparently it's got a place for a camera. So I think we all were fully expecting one. Probably that will be in version 2 when it comes out. As you guys know, I'm using Chrome right now for the show. And, of course, the extensions for Chrome were announced a couple weeks ago. And everyone was pretty excited about that. But we did a special on Tech Podcast Roundtable several months ago talking about Grease Monkey scripts. And Google Chrome 4 now natively supports Grease Monkey user scripts. And this is exciting because there's just really literally tens of thousands of Grease Monkey scripts out there. And some of them may not work, as this article is implying. Maybe 15 to 25% will not work, but at least you can try them. And I'll have a link up to this in the show notes. You guys can check it out. But pretty exciting stuff for Chrome, for those of you that are using it. Got an article here. I guess I just linked to this, and I won't go into it anymore. It's basically talking a little bit about what I talked about a few minutes ago, that about subscription models and why people think Facebook and Twitter and so forth will be charging at least something for premium services in the near future. So and how startups now are realizing that, hey, advertising is not going to work. It's largely because Google so dominates the cost per click advertising model. When you guys see Google ads on the side of different websites, and you click on that, the vendor gets charged, you know, whatever they bid to have that displayed there, and they don't get paid. Google doesn't get paid unless you click, and then neither does the website owner. So anyway, this is a pretty good article. I'll have it linked up there. You guys can go through. And this is from 500hats.typepad.com. And this is by Dave McClure. He has pretty good write-ups from time to time. I like reading his blog. Hey, big news on the Windows Mobile 7 front. And actually, the one thing that really piqued my interest here today was not necessarily Windows Mobile 7, but Windows Mobile 7 with Zune supposed to have the NVIDIA Tegra chip in it. I saw some tablets being run on NVIDIA Tegra, and we've actually got a video from CES. It was smoking. I mean, it was fast, 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 and very vivid, very good response, high performance on videos. If they do this and they do this right, the experience will be pretty powerful from a performance standard. So we'll be keeping an eye on what Windows Mobile 7 comes out with. Another article from Gizmodo. Seems like Gizmodo had the jackpot today as far as content went. Let's talk a little bit about HTML5. And I've been running some experiments with HTML5. And we all know the iPad does not have Flash support. A lot of people are complaining. We all know that our iPhones, which actually mine's on the charger behind me, does not have Flash support. Now, Chrome, Safari, and a few other browsers are starting to implement HTML5. And I'm pretty excited on where, as a content creator, where we're going with HTML5. I'm not real happy with what Firefox is basically. They're trying to push us into the Firefox does not want to I think, support the H.264 format. I think they're not going to have any choice. There is some licensing issues, I think to the tune of like about $5 million for a build running that's able to play the H.264 format. Now, it becomes a bigger problem with Linux builds because each build of Linux, of Firefox, is a unique build. So there may be some challenges there. But Adobe is, you know, they've come out swinging, basically saying, hey, look at how such a terrible experience it is that, you know, you can't view Flash videos on your iPhone or on your iPad. Well, play around with a site that's got HTML5 on your iPhone. You just might be surprised of the experience. And my understanding is correct, there is either a chipset or code that really on a mobile device improves the video quality on H.264 streams in HTML5 by the rendering engine. And the experience is pretty good. Now, the best way to do it, and I think if you go over to YouTube on Chrome, you may actually have an HTML5 experience. I don't know if they've converted everything or not. I'll have to take a look at the source on the web pages. But just like podcasting, the HTML5 implementation of audio and video playback is real simple. It's just a simple little enclosure tag on the, I mean, beyond simple. Just do a, you know, if you guys want to check it out, do a Google search for HTML5 video and implementation or something like that, and you'll find the tag that has to be used, and it really is going to make it easy for anyone to really make their websites HTML5 compatible. Obviously, Internet Explorer is not there yet, even though the Microsoft team has promised to get us there. Firefox, maybe the next version. Chrome and Safari are good to go right now, but the experience is pretty good. It really, really is, and I won't go into any more details on this, but I think we're going to be investing some time, code time, on HTML5 stuff here in a big way. Just make for a better experience. All right, one-on-one with an astronaut currently in space. There's a good article, a good interview over on the New York Times talking about the experience that one of the astronauts have had, his talking about his tutoring, talking about you know, real-time reporting of what's going on in space. If you haven't been following the Twitter account, you should do so, the NASA Twitter account. And I'll have this linked up in the show notes, but this is a great interview talking about what's going on in space and some of the challenges they have with you know, accessing the internet and, you know, using voice IP, which is pretty cool if you think about that, voice IP connection, telephone connection from space. And it makes a lot of sense. It really does. And some pretty good pictures here as well. All right, over on Wall Street Journal, new Mozilla email is easier to use but not easy enough. You guys know I use Thunderbird, and I only use Outlook for one email account, and it's because I have to, because of the way it connects to get the actual email. But Thunderbird is, for me, the email application of choice. Many of you go online, use webmail. I'm still, just call me old-fashioned, I still like having all my email downloaded and having a hard copy available wherever and whenever. The web-based stuff is good, but it's just, for me, it's not fast enough with the volume of email I do. You know, just getting off, just flying 9.5 hours back from Chicago to Honolulu, I landed and there was 132 messages waiting for me. Now, granted, about 90 to 100 of those were just deleted, but the other ones needed to be responded to. And what I often do is if I'm busy, I'll wait till I get on the airplane and I'll answer a bunch of email on the airplane and then sync up when I land, when I have access again. But Thunderbird, the new version of Thunderbird 3.0 is, I guess, right around the corner. And it talks about some of the new improvements to Thunderbird 3.0 and some of the likes and dislikes. I'm excited to see this come out. And this was off my radar completely. And I'm going to go look and see if they've got a beta version. That's kind of scary, beta with your email. But here's the beauty. I'm using IMAP. So even if my email client gets totally trashed, and you know, I run a beta and something gets jacked up, as long as it doesn't delete the email, it's still available on Google, because I sync back and forth and I can use multiple computers. Now, here's a product that I found out about over the weekend that if you're really worried about using a new email client, Backupify, BackUpify.com. It'll back up Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, Flickr, Picasa, Hotmail, Yahoo, just a whole bunch, and it's free right now. Go get it. Backupify.com. Pretty stoked about it. Now, it takes a little while for them to download everything you have, and they've had a big influx of listeners, and I probably just sent about 1,000 of you over there right now. But this is a cool service. What I like about it is it's backing up all my tweets, backing up everyone I follow, backupify.com. Now, then when they go pay, I think it's going to be like $60 or $69 a year. But right now it's free, so go over there and get signed up. But it backs up like 12 or 13 different social networks and email accounts, so it's really, really cool. So definitely check it out. All right, let me look here. How are we doing for time? Yeah, we're doing okay. And let me double check what's going on here. Okay, good. All right, over in Ars Technica, even though I'm giving away an iPad, I'm really waiting for the Google version. There's some hints that Google, let me see if I actually, I got the cart before the horse here. I got to go down and find where I actually was supposed to actually talk about this. I jumped the shark here. Hang on a second. Here we go. Let me actually copy and put this up in the website. The Google Tablet UI and concept pictures have me pretty excited. And here we go. There you guys can see it on Ustream. This is a concept picture provided by Google. And, you know, kind of a interesting concept for running Google apps and so forth. Definitely with the Chrome layout and so forth. What do you guys think? You guys going to wait for the iPad, or are you guys going to jump on board the possible Google tablet that may be forthcoming? Gives you a reason to pause for a few minutes, doesn't it? Okay. All right. The iPad SDK holds hints of video calls and handwriting. So as the folks of programmers have jumped into the actual SDK of the iPad, it should not be surprising. You want to use this tablet, you should be able to write on it, right? So that there's a hint of that forthcoming, and also a hint of video calls. It makes perfect sense. That's what I think I would use it for, is doing video calls, especially if you can see the other person. They can see you, you know, it's, you know, walk around. That's, to me, it seems like a natural extension, because who wants to sit at their computer desk and talk with somebody online? Wouldn't you rather like just go to like an easy chair? And, you know, they don't necessarily have to have a laptop, right? Just, you know, have this thing and point it at you and you can see them tied into a telephone service, you know, or voice IP service. I think that's the way to go. Skype. So we'll see what happens there. Hey, this is something that kind of made me go, uh-oh. And actually, I can't go into some of the things that Raw Voice were thinking about doing, but a new regulatory battle brewing over ISP classification. The FCC is considering making any internet-based company that offers a voice application, making them into giving them an ISP classification. I thought, whoa, that means if you have any type of voice application, voice app, and you make that available through an interface, you're going to have to follow some of the same rules as standard ISPs do. And there's, you know, it's probably not that big of a deal, but really what it boils down to, and actually maybe a good thing as well, no snooping, no listening, no digging into accounts, because ISPs legally without a warrant are, you know, not supposed to monitor or filter or censor any of the content. They're not allowed to stop you from visiting whatever illegal website you may go to. And I'm saying that you are, but the internet service providers are not culpable. They're not to be held because they don't do that. They can't be sued. So it is interesting of them considering making anyone that creates a voice application, any company, to give them an ISP classification, which really adds. Here's the rule. It shall be unlawful for any common carrier to make any unjust or unreasonable discrimination in charges, practices, classification, regulations, facilities, or services for or in connection with like communication service, directly or indirectly, by any means or device, or to make or give any undue, unreasonable preference or advantage to any particular person. So in other words, talking about net neutrality rules. And, wow, this is, could be very, very curious. We'll see what happens with this. But some FCC really reaching out there, extending their tentacles a little bit. Those of you that have been following what's going on with the Hadron Collider, lots of stuff going on. And boy, I tell you, it could get real exciting over there soon. They're ramping up power, ramping up experiments, the race for the Higgs, you know, signal or whatever you want to call the detection. The Higgs boson is on, talking about the use of software and all this other stuff. Lots of cool update information. I'll have that linked up for you in the show notes if you're interested in that portion. Oh, by the way, now, I'm going to be in Chicago during the Super Bowl, and we'll probably turn the TV on there in the hotel room and watch the game. But U.S. Code Title 17, Chapter 1, Section 10 is called the Limitation of Exclusive Rights. This is an exemption of certain performance and displays and lays out 12 of these exemptions to copyright restrictions. Did you know if you have a TV that is 55 inches or larger, you host a Super Bowl party, did you know that you may violate copyright law? TV broadcasts and movie showings can only be displayed as long as no such audiovisual device has a diagonal screen greater than 55 inches, and any audio portion of the performance display is communicated by means of a total of not more than 6 loudspeakers. So if you have a home surround system, which generally has more than 6 loudspeakers, and you have a television that's larger than 55 inches, the NFL can come in and shut you down. This is ridiculous. How many, maybe that's the reason why when you go into sports bars, they don't have really big TVs. They have a lot of TVs and a lot of different channels, but no big ones. Nothing over, you know, 55 inches. That's the rule. So if you're having a sports, hey, don't advertise. If you've got a 60-inch TV, tell all your friends you're going to be, you know, watching the game on the 40-inch. Oh my goodness. So who are you for, Colts or Saints? I'm for neither. I didn't even actually know who was playing until 2 or 3 days ago. Oh gosh. All right. Hacking cable modems for fun, profit time, or jail time? All of the above. Well, this is a new one. Matthew Delroy, 26-year-old with a business plan. So he was selling hacked cable modems. He was kind of doing it on the lowdown initially. But then he started advertising on Craigslist, then got even real bold and put him up on eBay. He had a website that was social SEO. Basically, they had the search engine optimized to look for hacked cable modems, hacked table, you know, TV sets and so forth. And yeah, you can imagine that the FBI was not interested in buying a couple of these from him. But when they did, they arrested him at his home. He is charged with wire fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Each charge carries a maximum of 20 years in jail and a $250,000 fine. So not a good business plan to advertise illegal services on the internet in that way. Was, you know, I'm sorry. He may have been a great hacker. He may have been a very smart engineer. He may have had a thriving business. But, you know, if you're going to have a business like that, let's be honest, that's like something you sell in the back of your car. You don't advertise that. You know, this kid is going to the big house for a while. Can you believe this? This is the second guy. They're going after folks in a big way. As we talked about someone else that got arrested here recently. But, he's advertising on eBay. You know, dumber and dumber. You know, I just we have to put him in for the knucklehead of the month award for sure. All right, those of you that are using Internet Explorer 6, please, if you are, come on, upgrade. Google is going to send Internet Explorer 6 users packing come March. So if you're using any Google apps, Google Docs, you go into those sites after March 1st, and you're using IE6, basically they're going to send you to a page upgrade. Now, I think you'll still be able to use Gmail, but if you're not on IE6 already, please upgrade. Come on. All right, we talked about the WikiLeaks website, WikiLeaks.com. Apparently, this site costs a lot of money to run. It says its running costs, including staff payments, are $600,000 a year, but so far this year, they've only raised $130,000. We're only in January, right? They raised $130,000, but yet they can't stay online? Temporary shutdown, and they're begging for donations. How much does it cost? 600 grand. What is someone getting? $550,000 in salary, and they have $50,000 in server cost? I'm sorry. We've got, how many servers do we have in our server bill? I just don't get that. I really don't. Sounds to me like someone's, is that big of a site to require that much money to run the website? Seems awful high to me. All right, CBS has sold out of Super Bowl ads, some top $3 million. And so, of course, that's probably one of the biggest things of the Super Bowl. And they've declined to reveal total ad revenue. But considering the number of, the number of ads, I think GoDaddy's going to have an ad again this year. Actually, I think they sent me a link to that. I should have that. I should post that up online. Or maybe they're just doing their own thing. I don't know. But anyway, I'll have to go back to the email and look at that. But, $3 million for a, 30-second spot? Jeez. Hey, come advertise on some podcasts. I can sell you a lot of podcast advertising for $3 million. Oh, but I don't think we can reach $100 million. That would be tough. All right, using Windows 7 release candidate? Hey, pay up or be prepared to be shut down. The Windows 7 release candidate is going to expire here shortly. So I guess June 1st is the date. You're starting to get warnings probably already. Or if you don't, you're starting to get them in the next few days. And it's actually going to start giving you notice every few hours. And then the machine's going to start periodically shutting down beginning on March 1st. So you're just using your machine, all of a sudden it just shuts down. So as of March 1st, PCs running Windows 7 RC will automatically shut down every 2 hours, and those shutdowns will come without warning. Pay up, folks. It's a good upgrade. It really is. If you're using it, pay for it. All right, news.com prevents falsely accused grandmother of getting kicked off the internet by the NPAA. Apparently, this gal was had an ISP that was Quest, and Quest has signed on to the three strikes rule. This shocks me. I didn't even know that any U.S. Vendors were doing this. But apparently Quest was threatening to kick her off the internet because they said she had done file sharing at least 3 times. And this is just an old grandma that was doing stuff online. But she says, hey, I've never used file sharing. And there was it's just warnings that Quest was sending her. And but news.com got involved and highlighted her issue, and she's been saved by the by news.com. But you know, what if news.com would not have come out and basically got some spotlight shine on this lady. She would have been without she actually works from her home. She's a recruiter, and so she said losing her internet access would have been devastating. But the only way she got Quest to back down was because news.com became interested in the story and convinced Quest to look deeper. And there was no one where she could appeal any of these accusations to at Quest, and no official process to respond to the bogus claims of the MPAA. You know, if you're going to be accused, aren't you, like, in this country, aren't you innocent until proven guilty? You know, shouldn't that, you know, I don't get it. I really don't. This is scary. It really, really is. That they can say, oh, you're file sharing. That's your first warning. Oh, you're file sharing. That's your warning two. Oh, you're file sharing. That's your warning three. Boom, you're done. You're off. And no way to respond. No way to defend yourself. Sounds like a class action lawsuit process for me. All right, Amazon, Macmillan were fighting over ebook prices over the weekend. Amazon removed the Macmillan titles, and then it caved in to higher prices. So expect to pay between $15 and up for Macmillan books now, on if you're looking at ebooks, versus the $6.95 or $7.95 you were paying before. Guess I just won't be buying too many Macmillan books on Amazon, that's for sure. Okay. Hey, iPad for Verizon is happening, Verizon source says. So that might be good news for many of you. It says Apple's working with Verizon on a version of the iPad tablet, despite Apple only announcing AT&T. And this is according to Fox News Channel Clayton Morris, who just spoke with a Verizon source. I've seen several articles saying that they don't trust this reporting by Fox, so only time will tell. This was on Silicon Alley Insider. All right, last couple of articles here. So what's next for Apple, folks? What do you think they're going to do? And I think their next logical step is to take iTunes online. And Wired has a good article over on their Epicenter website talking about Apple's next revolutionary product will be iTunes, but not iTunes in the sense that we know it now, but being able to go to an online website and actually buy stuff and interact. So I think probably this makes sense. We've talked a little bit about this on the show already, and many of us agree that we don't like the way iTunes has been developed and continues to make it very difficult to find new media content. It'd be definitely difficult to find books. You know, there. Just imagine being made a favorite book on iTunes. Can you imagine the power in that? You thought Oprah was powerful? Imagine when someone opens their iTunes product up and it right up here says just suggested books to buy, and iTunes gives you makes you a highlighted book. Just by having that access, has millions of dollars worth of advertising, boom, and you're going to sell thousands of books. It can be a lot of competition on that page and a lot of pressure by Apple to be a little bit transparent as well. All right, over on ZDNet. Google Chrome have scaled usage share from IE and Firefox. Windows 7 now has broke the 10% barrier. Chrome is right now at 5.2%, up from 4.64% usage in December of 2009. Internet Explorer is at 62.18, down from 62.69. That's not very much difference. Firefox, though, on the other hand, 24.41, down from 24.61 in December of 2009. So Chrome is just making a little bit of a impact here. And a lot of people are upgrading, of course, to IE 8 and all the other different browser varieties out there. So I'll keep seeing how this changes. Last article of the night is from the New York Times. It's an article about hacking for fun and profit in China. It's about talking about folks that are running botnets, people that are actually going out and hacking into people's bank accounts from information they're stealing from those for putting viruses on your machines. And it's the insight to a hacker and what he's doing. Pretty scary stuff, really. And makes you just really nervous about being online today and some of the stuff that's out there, not only as a PC user, but as a Mac user as well. It's getting pretty nuts in that space. Anyway, I'll have a link to all these articles tonight in the show notes that'll be on the website, also on in the newsletter. So if you're not signed up for the newsletter, please do so. And I've... Actually, tonight I forgot to tell you guys, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Got some voicemails for you. Let me go ahead and bounce right into those right away. So here comes our first voicemail of the night.
Hi, Todd. This is Richard calling from Columbus, Georgia. Just have a few comments regarding show number 547. As far as the iPad processor, the A4, it's actually an ARM Cortex A9 processor, not anything to do with NVIDIA at all.
Oh.
We have some custom design work done by Apple. The thinking is it's by their acquisition of PA semiconductor that they bought earlier, but it is an ARM processor, not anything to do with NVIDIA.
My mistake.
As far as what the iPad can or can't do, Apple, it does what it does. To quote what you say, it is what it is. It's just like me complaining that you don't talk about sports cars or women's issues on your podcast. It is what it is. If I want that, I go somewhere else. If the iPad doesn't suit your needs and it's not what you want, get something else. Nobody made any promises. Everybody's getting upset because all the rumors hyped up everything that everybody thought it would be, and that's not what it was, and that's not what Apple ever said it was. It is what it is. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for that. Thanks for correcting me. I don't know where I got on the NVIDIA kick. I thought I had read that someplace. So my bus, thanks for squaring me away. Here's the second, and thanks for calling. And I don't think I've heard from you before, so thanks for being part of the Ohana, really. All right, here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd.
Oh.
This is Richard calling again.
Hey, Richard.
Another comment on show 547. As far as Apple or Google forcing you into their way, nobody's forcing you into anything. It's a choice you make on your own. You don't have to make that choice. They're just offering you services or devices. You choose how you choose. Nobody's forcing you to do anything. Thanks.
Hey, you're welcome, and thanks for the ongoing comments. All right, here comes the next voicemail.
Hello, Todd. This is Clint calling from Houston, Texas.
Hey, Clint.
As for what I make of the iPad, I don't know what to make of it, except that it does seem to be somewhat lacking in features, lacking in expectations that people had for it. Therefore, like I said, I don't know what to make of it. However, an iPad was seen last night on the Grammy Awards presentation. Very interesting. I enjoyed the podcast. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks, Clint. And I think we're all trying to get our brains around exactly what this is going to mean to the entire space and, you know, how it can change things. I don't know. I'm not convinced yet that it's going to be a groundbreaking device, but I could be wrong. All right, let's go ahead and get in the email here real quick. I want to thank Susabel and a number of others who actually sent me some advice on my 20-year-old. I appreciate that. A lot of good information here. Actually got one of the emails I got was from the lady listeners of the show actually relaying to me her experiences of some decisions she made and some great insights here, some good stuff that I hadn't really thought about. And thanks to Susabel and the others that have actually sent emails in on that. Hey, going to a couple of links. Joe Fusco sent in a link to his app Future of Mobile, and he's got a link to that. I'll have that up in the show notes. I got an email here from Marvin. He said, hey, Todd, it's Marvin, the blind guy who made you the other day. Well, wondering, do you know if Google Chrome, which is basically another operating system from what I can gather, is it accessible with screen readers like JAWS? And, you know, I don't know, Marvin, if it is or not, but being Google, you know, I think they're pretty careful about having accessible content and accessible software. So I would think that they would. He goes on to say, P.S., how accessible is blogging software for blind people using the web? Which ones are accessible? Maybe which ones would be handy if you had a show about blind people using assistive technology? So he gives me some links here. P.S., now can you help me out with a Windows Vista problem? Well, let me answer the, I know a lot of blind people use WordPress. I don't know exactly if they use any additional plugins or not. We've got some listeners of the show that are vision impaired. That are bloggers and actually new media creators as well. So let's see if I can get an answer for them, which blogging application is the best. Best thing maybe to do is maybe I'll just give you an account over on Geek News Central. You can log in and, you know, see how accessible it actually is from behind the firewall, I guess, for say. Or you can actually go over to WordPress.org and sign up for a free account over there. And give that a try, and you know, it doesn't hurt to give it a, you know, see how far you can get in, if you can actually navigate it with JAWS or not. Going to your Windows Vista problem, he said, over the weekend, he had to wait for a new power pack from Toshiba. The one thing I was using, the one I was using from Belkin, it was a heap of junk. It kept breaking, so I got a refund. So it was not the battery. It was the power pack. So I got back online today. So here's a quick version of my story. An Aperture programmer doing a Star Trek application using Visual Web Developer and SQL Server Management Studio Express 2008. Now, the text limit for a text box is 8,000 characters in SQL. And the episode for the Star Trek Voyager called Flesh and Blood from episode 154 tried to push it beyond that limit, and stupidity took the database file offline and lost its, and he lost his backup. So now I cannot connect to SQL Management Studio. He went and reinstalled SQL Server and Management Studio and Visual Web Developer Express. Now he says he cannot connect to the database engine, so he's really stuck. He tried to do a system restore, and he clicked on the box that says restore, and more than five days, well, the list of dates, I really need to roll it back to January 1st or December 31st. So is there any software to do this which will restore my Vista Home Premium system back to that date? That's about the only way to get the SQL database working again. Has anyone got any ideas of using JAWS 11 and do not have an external hard disk? Looking to purchase one, but forked over about 115 Australian plus 10% tax we have in Australia, so a bit like VAT. So anyone got any ideas, Marvin? I know it's a little convoluted here, but what Marvin's asking, does anyone have any ideas if on Windows Vista, if you can actually go back to around January 1st or December 31st and do a system restore, will it go back that far? Honestly, I don't know. Maybe someone in the audience will have an idea, or maybe someone will have an idea for SQL Management Studio on busting the text limit of in the actual database itself, maybe how we can recover that. If anyone has any ideas, send me an email. I can connect you with Marvin directly. Marvin, we'll see if we can get someone to help you. I take it you're down in Australia. Where are you at in Australia? Maybe we've got some listeners down there. Maybe we can hook you up with one of the listeners down there as well. And thanks for the email. Got an email from Andrew, one of the longtime listeners show, Andrew Darley. He says, hey, Todd, I was just watching Fox News and saw this report about ethanol from government waste paper heaven knows. I was just watching Fox News and saw this report about ethanol. It's from government waste paper heaven. Knows Washington creates a lot of paper. Maybe everyone needs a Kindle or an iPad. Andrew, did you write this when you just woke up, dude? I think you wrote it like I write. Anyway, he's providing me a link here. I think you asked for our site URLs when we send in articles. I'd like to include one. Here's one of mine, and it's over at imagingbuffet.com. So apparently, this is a report about ethanol and from the government waste paper. Okay, so anyway, we'll have this linked up in the show notes. Got an email from Ian. He says, hey, follow the following references on the register. It appears that some laptop users are having battery issues after selling Windows 7. Some have even reported that their batteries are permanently damaged, necessitating replacement. And this is a TechNet article around Microsoft. I have this linked up in the show notes. Got another email from Andrews. Hey, Todd, hope all well. Great work at CES. I just saw this very cool demo come out before the iPad announcement. And let's see, what was this actually about? About an iSlate tablet for the future print. I have that linked up in the show notes. And he said, here's a pretty good hands-on review of the iPad. So I've got another link there to put up. Got an email. Actually, that's it. That's it for email today. So everyone, thanks for dropping emails, geeknews@gmail.com, and calling in the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. Don't forget, I'll have a show for you on Wednesday night. So that'll be a live show Wednesday night, released on Thursday morning. Get this show downloaded and share it with your friends and family members, people that you know, people you work with. Spread Geek News Central far and wide. We're trying to build the audience here to go over 250,000 people by the end of the year. That's my goal number for reach for subscribers to the podcast. So everything you guys do to help spread the news about this show is greatly appreciated. Thanks for being with me today. And those of you on Ustream, thanks for hanging out with me as well. I definitely appreciate it. I'll be on here on Ustream after the show closes to hang out with you folks for a little while. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline +1-619-342-7365. We'll see you the next go around. Everyone take care and aloha.